Please be seated. We will be adding the hymn this morning right after the sermon, so prepare yourselves to sing even more. You sing so well. Being an old-time Wesleyan and a shouting Methodist, hearing good Methodist hymns and being able to participate is part of the joy I take and I love to share in worship. As I went over this scripture after returning from my reunion, and then, of course, hearing the news, and one other factor, in some ways, ministry never kind of quite leaves you. When my wife and I moved to where we live now at the Cherokee Garden Condos, we met this couple across the courtyard, as it were, Tom and Chris, and they happened to be, excuse me, I'm going to get some water while I'm talking, they happened to be members of First Church, so I knew them as friends and worshipers. And then, as things go, I found my way into a position at First Church for 3 years as assisting pastor of pastoral care. So Tom became a parishioner, if you will. Tom came down with bone cancer several years ago and sort of followed that through the duration of my ministry assignment there, and now as friends. And Tom has a way of telling you what he wants and expecting it to happen. You don't know anybody like that, do you? We'll do it my way, as Frank Sinatra said. And Tom declared to all that I would be the pastor to do his funeral. Tom left last fall, as he normally does, with Chris for Florida, and they returned early because Tom is now being cared for by hospice in his home across the way. And with that reality in my mind, plus the news of my friend Bruce's death, I revisited this scripture. And if you have been to a funeral, you might recall that some of this feels familiar. It's often the gospel passage that's shared at many funerals from John's gospel, with the addition later, just last night, of these words I'd like to share too. So after Jesus has talked to the disciples about who he is and why they should know him and how they ought to be able to know God through watching him and being a part of his ministry, he goes on to say, "I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." And somewhere after this, he also says, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. For those of you who are visiting via the internet and are seeing our sermon today, just a reminder, I am Paul Melrose, the interim pastor here at Crossroads Church, and I'm privileged to be with you through the end of June. And so you will see my face a few more times when Tressie posts the Sunday recording online for you. And I hope you'll please contact me if you hear something in the sermon that you would like to discuss or any other reason. Some people think of a Christian as one who necessarily believes certain things. Some think a Christian as one who necessarily does certain things, reading the Bible, doing a good deed. Some think a Christian is just a nice person. Let me remind you what Jesus said then in 14:6, earlier in this passage. "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to God but by me." He didn't say anything particular, ethic, doctrine, or religion was the way, the truth, and the life. He said that he was. It is possible to be on Christ's way and with his mark upon you without ever having heard of Christ, and for that reason to be on your way to God, even though you may not be there. Jesus had a universal sense about his ministry. We're in a section of John's gospel that is puzzling to a lot of people, if the truth be told, even the New Testament scholars. John has a way of writing in metaphor. One author even thinks of John's gospel as a drama, which is like a play in several acts. And on a close reading of this particular scripture, it's actually looking back. It has Jesus speaking to the disciples before he is crucified and resurrected, whereas the chronology of events is actually that in John's gospel, that pericope comes first, and then these words of Jesus come later. It's in a big section of John's gospel called the Farewell Discourse, and in that Farewell Discourse, Jesus describes himself in many ways. The I am sayings, I am the true vine, I am the gatekeeper, which might have been part of what you heard in the gospel lesson last week, many other things. Here Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me, to God. He then closes this, as the United Methodist Book of Worship and others have it in terms of the funeral service, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not let them be afraid. Well, I have to tell you, this morning when I woke up and listened to the news as I was pondering again what I would say this morning, I heard of three shootings, the tragedy down in Texas again, and I escaped the number, but I think the number of shootings, of mass shootings that have happened this year are more than the days on the calendar. A police officer, a law enforcement officer up north, was killed in some kind of a contact with a driver who later was found killed in another area. There have been shootings in Madison. There were two deaths over in Milwaukee last night because of some people celebrating whatever they were celebrating. It wasn't Cinco de Mayo, was it? Might have been a day late. But my heart is troubled. My heart is troubled given the fact that so many states want to cut out health care of very basic kinds for so many people. My heart is personally troubled because of the impending death of our neighbor Tom and the shock of the death of my friend Bruce. So these words Jesus means to say to a group of people who are all of a sudden going to experience life without him, he ain't going to be there anymore physically. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid, for I am the way and the truth and the life. And as I thought about my friend Bruce, I thought, in some ways, he embodied that. I met him when I was doing a first year of seminary fieldwork assignment in East Harlem. East Harlem back in the 60s and 70s was a very challenging, difficult place to live. We might call it slums, if you will. Chambers Memorial Baptist Church had been brought back to life by two very wonderful pastors. And Bruce and a roommate of his at the time moved into East Harlem to be at one with those people. And when I met Bruce his second year at Chambers, my first year, he was a person highly trusted by the members of the church. He could walk streets doing a variety of things, and people knew he was there. People also knew that he was a minister, if you will, at Chambers Church. Bruce taught me a lot. One of the things he taught me was that even in the brightness of a sunny day, you don't take the bus across 125th Street from Union on the west side of Manhattan to Chambers on the east side wearing a bright green blazer. You just don't do that. Sometimes you inadvertently put yourself out there in a way that's not necessary. I then got to know Bruce as a friend through discussions of Bible study and serious scripture, and this was a man who believed in the ministry of the church. He took very seriously that without being presumptuous, but in a humble way, he, as one of the followers of Jesus, was a way on the way, that he, like Jesus, was in his own way, the truth, and the life. Because as this gospel points out to us, at a time at which we're ready to say farewell in this earthly life to friends, relatives, family, and they go on to a new life. Jesus is not only the way to eternal life, he says, as another phrase in John's gospel picks it up, he is the way to more abundant life. He is the way to those who stand up in good trouble, as Congressman Lewis used to say. Ralph Warnock is a Union alum, and he's the senator from Georgia, the current pastor of Ebenezer Baptist Church. And if you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a little bragging, a picture of a book that he signed for me, and I'm in the same picture with Senator Warnock. He's a Union graduate. Yes, I'm touting my seminary today. We alumni like to do that. Of course, I would also, so as a parenthesis, speak loudly for UW-Madison. That's where my son went, and I finally finished paying the bills, and he's got a good education. But he learned how to be in ministry out there as an extension of his work with Jim Cohn, who's a noted, now deceased, African-American theologian, and of Reverend Calvin Butts, who was the pastor of many years for Abyssinian Baptist Church, a church at least in the East Coast known for its outreach ministry and moving the Word of God from the pulpit to the people. The way, the truth, and the life. I digress. Bruce had a way of doing that, and when he started working in churches in the suburbs, he was an inner city person at first, but he realized, as we were challenged as the white students at that time, go back and pastor with your own people. Bring the Word of God in all its fullness, that there are all these other people who have abundant life but need more abundant life, even as we might need more abundant life in terms of housing we've heard today, in terms of health care. Other folks are perhaps in need of even a meal, which is why you all participate in giving food every so often. And there are so many food pantries now struggling to meet the needs that have increased. Bruce went on. He became a therapist after being a minister. So there was a lot of similarity. And he was a great father and grandfather. He had 6 grandchildren. He loved to be at the beach. When we were in seminary, his family owned a place on the Jersey Shore, and during those hot weekends of May and June before we all went off to our first professional positions, you couldn't find anybody in my apartment. We were all down on Long Beach Island at the beach, and that house has stayed in the family, and he shared stories and games and was inquisitive, letting his family know, because they all knew of his heart condition at that time. It had happened first time 10 or 12 years ago, just before I saw him the last time. But even as a runner, he was full of life. And there was something in his demeanor that just said, here's somebody who appreciates life, who appreciates the depth of life, and is going to do what he can in the course of his life to bring at least a little more abundant life, in the words of Jesus. Because Bruce's heart was physically troubled, not just emotionally or spiritually troubled. So today, as we prepare to come to the Lord's table, this is the way of us being reminded not only of the saints who've gone before, giving their lives to more abundant life, but perhaps a recommitment of all of us to the abundant life that we're privileged to have. And to the many ways, I can't slow this church down. I meet with the ministry team, I've met with the board, and my Lord, when your new pastor gets here, it's going to be wonderful. That person's going to have to run to keep up because there are plans in process. There are ministries continuing, not only with the wonderful caring of the earth a couple of weeks ago, which is not a one-time thing, but on your hearts and minds, as well as other committees gearing up, looking for where we can spread the gospel to those friends and neighbors, which is why I urge all of you to continue to push the like button and share button on your Facebook page when Crossroads Church pops up in your feed. Another way, because, see, folks, Jesus said to his disciples, you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And it wasn't just to those 12 individuals those who study Greek language and for whom I covet their research to know what the words in the original language actually mean. You is a plural. It's all of us. You, me, all of us, Crossroads Church, is also part of the way and the truth of the life which brings to the world the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen.